Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
For those of you that maybe don't know, every morning at 9 o'clock, we meet in my office, and we have a time of prayer, about 30 minutes of prayer. And one of the things that kind of came up this morning is God was reminding me of the things that He's done, not only in my life, but He's done in the lives of all of us. And I don't think there's anybody sitting here that doesn't have something to be thankful for. And whether it be a physical healing, whether it be something with your family, finances, whatever it may be, sometimes when it happened, you know, years ago, we seem to kind of put it on a shelf. And of course, for that moment, that was so important. And we kind of don't forget about it, but it's not something that's in the limelight. And I think what Lord was saying this morning as we were praying is that to don't just leave it on that shelf, that we today come with a thankful heart and to remember those things that He did in the past. And it doesn't have to be that you're concerned about it today, but just as you pray, just say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for that time that I saw You working in my life. Thank You, Lord, that I know, and sometimes we hear this song, if He did it once, He can do it again. And so we need to just don't leave those things that He's done in our past. Don't leave them on top of a shelf. Don't just put Him up there and let Him collect dust. Continue to just bring Him up and just make Him fresh every morning and say, thank You for all that You've done, Lord. And be specific maybe of something that He's brought to your heart. So hopefully today is another day that He'll do something in your heart that you will be thankful for. All of you are not here just because. You are here because you are supposed to be here this day. And whether you get something from the worship music, whether you get something from pastor's preaching today, or just by somebody that's sitting here today that might step up to this microphone. You want to say something? You can share.
Something literally just came on my heart, literally. And I think I need to tell you all because it was so scary. And years ago, I mean, I've always been hypervigilant anyway, based on my past. But years ago, we were stationed overseas and we really became and were trained to be hypervigilant. And so this was a holiday season back in Massachusetts. It was in December, and I always made sure we were, you know, we had to see the kids. You know, we were together. There were four of us in the mall, my son, my daughter, my husband. And all of a sudden, we just spotted this person, my husband and I, and they were way too curious at what we were doing. And it was a crowded mall, you know, and we were together, and we got over to the KB toy section, and my husband was with my daughter and I was up with my son, and my daughter was what, maybe 8 at the time. And so, all of a sudden this person comes in again and I was terrified. I'm scared right now telling you. And so, I started to walk over toward my daughter and my husband started to walk over toward my daughter, and this person had come in and was trying to go around behind and grab her. And, we both came in, and all of a sudden he says, mission failed. The only reason we know that said, because there was this mimicking parrot that said mission failed afterwards. And he ran out through the Macy's and we had to go through the security and the police and all that stuff. We were a basket case, but just know that God is always with us and He is protecting us. And my child was not taken that day. Amanda is alive and well. And, you know, thank God for all the things that didn't happen, did not happen, you know, and so that as well.
Thank you, Kathy. And that's really what I felt God was telling us this morning, you know, whether you've seen something or you saw something that didn't happen, my gosh, he's there with us every moment of our day. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. See where he's at. And if you stay focused on him, you're going to have a good pathway. So, as I said, if you have something a little later through the worship time, you have a testimony like Kathy's or anything else that the Lord's placed in your heart, then please come up here and do so. But first today, as we've always done, every first Sunday of the month, we have a corporate communion. And so as the servers begin to serve the elements to you, I want to remind you that when we're completed with this, that you pass the empty ones to each side. Somebody will pick them up. And there's two little glasses. One has a little bread in it, and the other one has we call it wine, but it ain't wine. It's juice. But anyway, it's in there. And sometimes it may be a little hard to try to separate them, but you'll get it. But anyway, while they're doing that, I want to read something out of 1 Corinthians 11:23. Okay. And so just hold on to the elements until we all are ready to take them, please. So it says, this is Paul, and he's talking about the Last Supper. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And the emphasis that I wanted to, this is what we do every time we take communion. We're doing it, you know, whether it's corporately or other Sundays, we have it available for you back there. Two elements, little piece of bread, a little bit of juice. These are not magical elements, okay? This isn't something that if you have what you would consider a sin, that little piece of bread or that wine's going to take care of. What I want you to look at is that word "in remembrance." In remembrance of him, okay? All this that we may be concerned with today, it's already happened. In Hebrews 10, it tells us that every sin, past, present, and future, has been forgiven. Has been. He will remember your sin no more, it says. So it isn't something that when you take that, whatever we're taking today, that today it starts. It's already happened. And in Peter 2:24, it says that by his stripes we have been healed. The work on the cross that Jesus did took care of it way back then. And so don't let these things come against you. Don't let condemnation come upon you. But when you take these elements today, remember him. Remember what he did on that cross. Remember the blood he shed. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. All you have to do is walk in that forgiveness. Walk in that healing. And if you're not having that this day, be open to the Lord doing something for you today. There's freedom and there's deliverance. And when we take these elements this day, just know that he paid the price. So that you wouldn't have to. So please stand with me. And the word does say, as I read, that after he gave thanks, this is a symbol of his body. Other religions or other different congregations, even maybe they look at this a little different than what we do. But this is just to remind you of the broken body and what he paid just so that we would not be broken this day. So please take the bread. And that in the same way, he took the cup, and this was a symbol of the blood that he shed. And so please take the cup. And just take a moment, especially as we go into worship now. And as I said earlier, what have you got to thank him about? What has he done for you? And the one way you can do that is to totally, completely surrender this morning. Let him work in your heart. Try to hear his voice. Take away all the junk that's around you and just focus in on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus this day, and you're going to be surprised at the stuff that he's going to do with you this morning. He's got good things for you this day. So enjoy, dance, laugh, jump. Lay flat on your belly if you have to. Just have fun this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name.
The other day, I think it was Wednesday, we was at the VA, and I was waiting for Billy to get his labs done so I could take him to the back to get chemo. And I was listening to Caleb on the radio, and this song came on, and I got so excited, and I just cranked the radio up. And it was, people were looking around to see where it was coming from, but I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
I'm not going to read a poem today. I do have one, but I'm not going to read it. I just want to say how awesome God is with his protection. He protected me 2 times this week. And the one, I was praising him in the car on the way to work. And I went through a red light, and I went like, after I went through it, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, it freaked me out, but he protected me. I don't. And another time at work this past week, I tripped over a game that I was playing with the residents, and it was so awkward, and my companion at the game said to me, "Are you all right? Did you hurt yourself?" And I said, "Oh, I might have skinned my shin, you know, or something." And I went home that night thinking, "Oh, I'm going to have a good bruise, a good goose egg." And I looked at my leg, no bruise. It was amazing. God's protection is amazing. I mean, you just have to think of Psalm 91. I think it's verse 11, something about he will give his angels charge over you so you won't bang your head on a rock or something like that. It's something close to that, but he protects us. Remember it. You don't have to worry. He's there for us.
I guess I'll just hold this.
I'm going to give a testimony about what God has done for me in the past 10 years. That's when I became a widow on February 13th in 2014. And during that time, he sustained me. He helped me through naturally a very difficult time without my husband. My husband was always there for me, praying with me before I'd go off to work. And we would talk and share. He'd make me a cup of coffee before I'd go off to work. And during this time, God gave me a group of people who surrounded me with lots of love. But the one thing that I was able to do, and this is something when we trust in God, that he can help you wherever you are. And it worked. I was blessed to have people that I could pray with. And so every morning we would pray and we would believe God for different answers. And sometimes the answers don't come quickly. Other times they happen instantly. We prayed a prayer that lasted 7 years. And finally one day we got our answer. And so it goes to show you that we can trust God through anything and everything. And there were times that people would come in and they were sad or they were going through things. And I'd ask them, are you a woman or a man of faith? And 9 times out of 10, they'd say yes. And I said, may I pray for you? And they go, oh, that's great. So they're getting ready to leave. And then I said, no, we're going to pray right now. And so, you know, because most of the time, what do? We make a commitment that we will pray. And then what happens? We forget. So I would take them to my desk. Sometimes we'd be in the vault, wherever was needed, and we would pray. And then later on, they would come and they'd tell me how God answered. And so, you know, I said, you got to come back. You got to share with me. And so often, I was so blessed. But wherever I was, wherever I walked, God was with me. And there were times when he'd say, I want you to say this. And I'm going, oh, but I can't. I can't say that. I don't even know them. And so my heart would beat really fast. And that was my way of knowing that God was with me and that I had to do it. And so there are times when you touch people's hearts. Hey, this is my grandson. This is Ben. So he would allow me to talk to people. And even my employees, after a time, they came to me. Linda, you want to talk? You do? Okay. Well, let's find out what he wants to say.
Help me to love.
Oh.
Help me. Scripture? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yesterday we talked about Psalm 139:14. I praise you.
I praise you.
Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
So praise God. Okay, yeah. Thank you, baby. Yeah, so we were talking in the car on the way back from the gym and mineral show, and he says, you know, it's been a long time since I got up and I preached. You know, so and I said, yes, it has. And so then I said, you know, we'll have to do it. He says, I have to think about it. And so today he preached. And my little Ben, he's 4, but let me tell you, he's got a heart for God. And he prays and he believes. So thank you, Ben. So anyway, I had the honor and the privilege of doing that. And during that time, you know, whenever I needed to make a decision, I would ask the Lord, Lord, what do I do? Which way do I turn? Which way do I go? At that time, when I lost my husband, I was in debt, and God took me out of debt. So I only had my house. And then I bought a bed on one of those plans where, you know, you pay as you go and you don't pay any interest and all. And so I got to tell you, God can help you through anything and everything that you're going through. I bought a new house. I renovated it. I still have some renovations that I'm working on, but he's helped me every step of the way. And Heather had talked about that she was looking to God to help her with whatever, and that really brought to mind, I said, you know, that's what we do, Lord. And so he will help you through anything and everything. And, you know, am I going to tell you that life's easy or that you're not going to go through issues and troubles? You will, but you know what? That's your testimony. That's what you're going to share with others. And, you know, that's what you're going to be able to make a difference in somebody's life, because they're going through the same things maybe that you're going through, and you can give them a hope. And I have a scripture, and I wrote it down because just in case I forgot it.
but it's 1 Peter 3:15. Always prepare to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope, the hope that you have. And he says, but do this with gentleness and respect. So guys, we can share and we can be able to show God, this is what I hope for. I mean, show people, this is what I hope for and this is what God gave me. Because it's so important that we share with others and we give a hope so that they know that there's nothing that they can endure, that they can't go through without knowing that He is there with them and for them. So I encourage you, be ready. Have that relationship with the Lord and every morning ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to speak to? And never be in fear, because if He's asking you to do it, He's prepared the heart to receive it. And so be strong in the Lord and know that your relationship will make a difference. Thank you.
Okay, the song again, I trust in God my Savior, the one who will never fail. I was in Illinois. And I had a Holy Spirit was all over me with my brother on Saturday night after the family wedding. And I took his hand and I told my brother, who is Buddhist, okay? And I took his hand and I said, John, that's his name. He and I grew up together. We were the closest of, I'm a family of seven siblings. So he and I were the closest. And I took his hand and I was just crying just because the Holy Spirit was just all over me because of how much I love him and how much my heart is just heavy for him. And I took his hand and I said, John, I love you. And I'm just crying. I'm just crying so heavily with him. And I'm saying, John, I do not want to be in heaven without you. Please, God. Please, John. Please, would you consider accepting Jesus? He said no. And he said at that moment right then, he said, let's not continue to talk about this. But he knew the heaviness of my heart. He saw my pleading. He saw my crying. He saw I was holding his hand so tight, and I was saying, John, I mean, I was almost on my knees with him, and I said, John, I don't want to be in heaven without you. So, my plea here, I am praying for my brother John, who is Buddhist. He lives in the Zen Center in San Francisco, California. He lives in the Zen Center, I'm not going to go into all that. Just, I'm pleading with the body as I am praying for my brother John like never before. I'm asking y'all to pray for my brother John. So, I trust in God. I trust in God. My heart has been heavy since that conversation, though, I have to tell you, because I've been just praying and praying that God will save him, that I will not be in heaven without him. Amen.
This is the last time any of y'all are going to be saying something about my king. Is over. And I'm never going to speak about it again. Thanks to Pastor Henry, Pastor John, the church, and of course the man upstairs. I made it through it. And you will never hear them words come out of my mouth again.
So Pastor John was talking about not forgetting about those things that have been answered in the past, right? And I was actually, you know, it's crazy how the Holy Spirit works, right? Yesterday, I was reminded of one of those things. My mom was up here talking earlier, you know, I lost my dad 10 years ago. and I was having a really tough time. I finally, you know, got into a job I applied for like 9 months before. But it was still, a lot of things are going pretty rough. I was just like struggling with a lot of stuff. It was just hard, right? And even we were supposed to go on this trip together where we, you know, learn how to hunt for meteorites and stuff. And before that, I just kind of said to, I was just, you know, upset, angry, hopeless. I was like, God, do you even love me anymore? And then we, it's kind of funny how, you know, God acts on just like little things to let you know, yes, I do love you. We went to that camp and it was like an amazing time. And, you know, I found the big meteorite and also the most. So, you know, it was this really good time. And even though it wasn't like anything that kind of changed my circumstance, my situation, it was one of those things where Scott like told me, he's like, you know, I do love you. And I think the issue is if we stop remembering those things that God did for us in the past, and we just focus on all the bad that's happening, what happens is we just get stuck in this place of hopelessness. And I thank God I went through that, because I wouldn't be as strong as I am now. You know, it's just like working out in the gym. You break down your muscles so they get stronger, right? You have to go through something to improve. So just let me remind you of this right here. With this is Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It's, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Because if you focus on those things, you'll remember your God is an overcomer. He's gonna make everything work together for your good. He never fails, so don't give up hope. And it says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you're looking for peace, make sure you do what God's asking you to do. Know your word and stand on it.
Okay, with the song Trust in God, my grandpa had surgery on Friday. And it was kind of scary, but, you know, I just had to trust in God and everything would go well, and it did. That's all. So I don't know if you guys remember, but a while back, last year when we went to camp, they asked who had a calling, and I felt my calling was to be a pastor, right? And then we talked about like how Micaiah had a dream that like they were going to build a church, right? And so anyways, I have felt really connected to this feeling of being a pastor. So we are going to fine arts this year, and I signed up for two things. I signed up for photography for first, and then second, I did short sermon. And I'm like thinking like, God, just give me a good sermon. Let me be able to do this right, make it touch everybody's heart. And the thing, like, I was like, no, this isn't it. But it keeps replaying, and it's the same thing, to trust in God. And that's like, I just need to trust in God that he's gonna give me the best thing to give to people that he knows needs to be told to everybody. So just trust in God. Oh, and I was working on a class for my school to start a club, and we got accepted to be able to start our group in our school. So.
I trust in God, right? You know, so much of the time we spend worrying on things that may happen. how many times have you worried about something and nothing happened? We spend a lot of time worrying about things that might happen, but the Lord says, cast your worries upon Him. And what about all the what ifs we have? Well, what if this happens or what if that happens? Well, my suggestion is, what if we trust in God? Not have a plan B, but have a plan A from above. Thank you.
Sometimes when I'm reading, God would bring a word that I need to look up. And the other day I was reading, and the word knowledge, I said, what does knowledge mean, Lord? And I looked it up, and it says, knowledge allows a believer to relate the scriptures, and particularly the gospel of Jesus Christ, to all aspects of life in this world. They can see how it connects to every situation and circumstance, and how the reality and truth of the gospel is to inform every decision a Christian makes.
Yes.
And so then, when it gives me a word and I'm reading, a bunch of scriptures come up. And so I have a scripture. See if I can get it. I lost it. It says, I'm going to pray this over you. I pray that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How are we going to know if we don't hear and if we don't read? Two important things that it brought up was we need to be in the Word daily and not just that praying and asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you every day.
Amen. You know, I had such a wonderful moment with the Lord yesterday. He's just amazing, and I'll just let you know what He did for me. Right now, my Gianna has SIBO again. Some of you know about her. She had it for a whole year. The Lord healed her. She had a whole year without it, and now she has it again. And it almost brought death to her, but God made a way when there seemed to be no way. She healed of it. And right now, that song of trusting in God, He's really testing me. He's telling me, do you believe in my word? Do you believe in what I say? Do you believe that she is healed? So He told me, He showed me, pray in the Spirit when you are feeling weak. And I've been doing that in the last couple of days a lot. And it's true, there's peace that comes upon your body. When you have things coming against you, and what greater things than your loved ones, having some things that will possibly take them away from you. But God is greater, and He gives us the tools. And the tool that He gave me was to pray in the Spirit, that it will give you peace that surpasses understanding. And it has been right now, because my daughter shared with me that she's facing depression. She's a nurse. She feels, you know, she was a part of her healing along with God. But I think what God is doing is He's trying to show our loved ones that it's not you that did it. It's me. It's Jesus that did it. And I did tell her, I said, He healed her once. He'll heal her again. And though she's not there in the kingdom yet, she agreed with me and said, yes, Mom. So pray in the Spirit when you are weak, because He is strong. He's the strength. He's our rock. He's who we stand on. It's His word. It's His promise. That's what I want to share with you. Thank you. In agreement with me that she is healed. Amen.
Well, I think what He was giving me during the song, I think goes along perfectly with what she was saying, what everybody's been saying. But I just, that first verse that we go through, I want to go through it again, but it says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. And that's the thing is, we don't have to worry. Whatever we go through, right? The highs, the lows, like all of it. We know that God is with us through every single portion of it. That there's never a time that he leaves us alone. There's never a time that we are left to just do our own thing. Those are choices we make if we do, right? But he never leaves. He always knows what he's doing. And 1 John 5:14 is the scripture that came to mind for me, because it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And verse 15 says, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." God's always on our side. He's always fighting for us on our behalf. And that's the thing is, we can have confidence. We can have assurance that it's all taken care of. That there's nothing that we have to do on our own. There's no fight that we have to put up if we just allow God to fight for us. Yeah. And we just allow him to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So it's...
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's raise our hands to him. Thank him that he never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. You can be seated. Before you sit down, shake somebody's hand and say, tell them God will never fail you. God will never fail you. God will never fail you. He will never fail you. He'll never fail you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He will never
fail you.
Thank you. Thank you. He will never fail. He will never fail. He'll never fail you. He will never, never, never fail you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. No one like the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no one. There's nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad you're here this 1 week before Super Bowl. Amen? Hallelujah. I got to confess to you. Yeah, I've got a birthday party next Saturday night in Sierra Vista. Is that okay? Yeah, so Rose and I are going to spend the night. So Pastor John's going to take the service, so you probably won't be seeing me. And it's not because of the Super Bowl, okay? Just letting you know, all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said go 49ers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go Cardinals. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, some mom, praise God. Hallelujah, yeah. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. How many say amen? How many feel the presence of God? Man, I sense his presence here this morning. And I know that he's got something for you. If he hasn't given it to you already, he's got something. Can you say amen? Say, Lord, give me something. Amen? Let's get something. Just be real with him. Say, God, I got to have something. Amen? God, I got to have something. And if you're ready to give me something to go with that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I can tell you that God likes to give you things to go with the things he's already given you. Can you say amen to that? That's how he builds you. That's how he strengthens you. That's how he talks to you, by building on what he's already given to you. I'm building on that memory, that remembrance of what, like Pastor John was talking about. Building on it and building on it. Sometimes you can go back and go through your testimony, and you can see where God has done something, and sometimes the word of God will come and relate to it really great, because God always sends his word to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that God always sends his word?
Yes.
His word is no other than, hello, Jesus, his son. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. God always sends his word to you. Can you say amen to that? And hallelujah. So we've got a message this morning. I feel God was talking to me about last night. It's almost like one I gave a few months ago or a month ago or so. And it seems like some of you are going to say, man, he already preached this.
But I don't know. Those of you that are saying he already preaches, I'm going to just say to you, well, you didn't get it, so I guess he wants me to do it again. Amen. Come on. Everybody say amen. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, come on, man. Glory to God. God desires to take you places where you've never been before. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that he's got more for you than you even can even fathom? Can you believe that? It doesn't matter about how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Sometimes we'll look at young people and we'll say, well, right there, there's a future of the church right there. No. You're the future. Can you say amen to that? Everyone, God is moving on his people, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. You might go through some stuff. How many say amen?
Yep.
How many like going through stuff? Sure. Put a damper on that, right? No. You might go through stuff, but God says, I know about it. I already knew about it. You don't have to worry. Just like one of the sisters was saying, just pray. Can you say? One of the sisters said, you know, when I'm down and I pray in the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, pray in the Spirit all the time. Can you say amen to that? All the time. Lift up your voice. Let him pray through you, because it's him praying and not you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Woo, that's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you ain't got it. Amen? Who cares what people says? You got to believe what the Word of God says. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's for you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for you. It's for you. It's for you. Because it's God speaking and not you. It's God praying through you. The Holy Ghost praying on your behalf. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, come on, man. And what he's doing, he's setting you up. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He's setting you up for what he has for you, where he's going to take you. You might not understand it. You might not know it. I told the Lord one day, I said, hey, God, I never said that I wanted to be a pastor of a church. And going home, on the way home, he said, no, you didn't. But you prayed it. Well, when I pray that, when I was praying in the Spirit, can you say amen to that? Yeah, he had given me more than I thought. I said, well, you set me up, God. Shame on you. You set me up. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that God, I got to believe this is why I have to believe. Pastor John, we have to believe in who he is, that he knows what he's doing. Can you say amen to that? This is why you can stand confident in anything you go through, no matter what. Amen.
Amen.
Billy, I'm going to say something to you, brother. Billy. Hey, right here. Hey, hello, Billy. Billy, hey. Not your cancer. Not your cancer, okay? Don't even use that. That's right. My cancer is gone. No, it's not your cancer. It's gone. It's out. Amen? Kicked it to the street. Kicked it to the curb. Is that right?
That's it.
Not yours. Sickness and disease don't belong to you, folks. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you know that Jesus paid the price that you might be whole and complete?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor. Say whole and complete.
Whole and complete.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You are whole and complete. It's important in these days of what God's doing in the earth today with the kingdom of God. It's important that you understand what he's telling you. It's important that you listen to what the Word of God says about who you are. Amen?
Amen.
That's why it's so important that you spend time with him and his Word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Word. Can I tell you, we can't live without this. What does the Word of God say?
Bread.
It's bread. Man does not live by, but out of every what? Every word that proceeds out of whose mouth?
God.
Your favorite evangelist?
Mouth of God.
Whose mouth?
Mouth of God.
Your friend that's a good Christian, better than you, that you think he knows everything? Everything that proceeds out of his mouth? Not out of your evangelist's mouth? Out of your prophet's mouth? No, out of his mouth. You better be seeking him. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. I better get off that because I'm pretty heavy on that. As you might know, I believe every child of God needs to be in their closet listening to what God is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh. Okay. Lord, hallelujah. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Very, very, God really just been speaking to me out of this chapter, but I know that God is purposely placing his word in your heart in times of trouble, in times of great joy, the mountaintop experiences, and the time of the valley when you feels like you're in trouble, but God is constantly placing His word upon your heart because He wants you to know that it's so important to you, yourself, that you fully believe what He's telling you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. If there's anything in my heart, I love what Rosie brought this morning, that I pray that you would be filled with all understanding and spiritual understanding, that you would be filled with it. Can you say amen? Amen. Some people think, hey, this is not one of those churches where the pastor has to be the head guy or the pastor has to be the smartest in the box. Is that okay? No, man. I believe that we are all members one of another. Can you say amen? That we are the body of Christ. And what He says is what's important. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So you know, I'm back on that subject again. Get to know Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Lord, help us. Help us to receive that which You might have for us this morning, God. We thank You for it, and we praise You for it. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
And He said to them, verily I say to you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. How many know the kingdom of God is on the earth today? Can you say amen?
Yes.
And it's in you. But what we're looking to see, the kingdom of God with power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The power being exposed. It's one thing to say I'm a child of God. It's another thing for the power of God to be exposed and poof. Everybody go like that. Poof. Go like a poof. Poof. It's this little bit of poof. This little power comes up and out of you. Can you say amen to that? That's what, and I will tell you, it will change lives if you allow it to. Is that right? If you'll allow the power of God that's within your life to be exposed, poof, you're going to see things you didn't think you'd see. Amen? You're going to hear things. You're going to speak things you never thought you'd speak. But it's because of the power that dwells in you that God is trying to get you to release. Can you say amen? That's not even where I was at. All right. It says, verily I say to you that there be some of you that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter, James, and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And the Bible says here, He was transfigured before them. I have no doubt, because Jesus oftentimes resorted to go to a mountain and would pray. Jesus took these three boys up there to pray with Him. Can you say amen? How would you like that? Hey, I'm going to the mountain. We're going to pray, me and Jesus. Well, me and Jesus and Peter and John, whatever. Yeah, but I'm going to the mountain to pray. Can you say amen? Jesus took them up there because He knew what happens in His prayer time. He knows what happens when He's in His Father's presence. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. And He was transfigured before them. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller, that's a cleaning person, on earth can white them. Tide's got nothing on this, right?
Hallelujah.
Mr. Clean. Nothing on this. Amen. This is bright white. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. See, I will tell you that I believe that Jesus would quote His own word. Can you say amen to that? And Elijah and Moses would show up. Can you say amen? See, there's things going on in the spiritual. Sometimes we just don't see and understand. But so, folks, I will tell you, when you're studying God's word and all of a sudden something hits you and you start praying over it and you start weeping, you start praying and whatever, you just start, oh, the Holy Spirit, I know. Whew, you're not by yourself. Can you say amen? The Bible says where two or three of us are gathered together, there am I in the midst. I will tell you, the word of God is a great witness. The Spirit of God. And you. Ooh, there you go. Can I tell you that he's always in the midst? He will never nor leave you nor forsake you. He's always there when you're praying. Can you say amen to that? He hears you when you pray.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Elias, whatever, that's Elijah. For he wist not what to say, for they were afraid. They didn't know what to say about what they just saw. What did we just see? There's only four of us that came up here, yet there's two more. There's six of us now. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, hey, this is my beloved son. And it says this, hear him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, except Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying within themselves, questioning with one another what the rising of the dead should mean. Glory to God. What they saw while Jesus was praying was the brilliance of the glory of God. Can you say amen to that? They saw the brilliance. How many of you remember when Moses, he went up on the mountain and spent 40 days and 40 nights up in the mountain? And the people were saying, well, we don't know what happened to him. And so he's our leader, but, you know, we think our leader's got it. Something ate him. We don't know what happened to him, but it's been 40 days now. No man can live without food and water for 40 days. I mean, you know, God can sustain anybody. So they decided they were going to make a golden calf, and they made a golden calf. And Joshua's up there in the mountain with Moses, and he says, hey, man, there's a sound in the camp, like sounds like war. And Moses says, no, that's not the sound of war. They're playing. They're having fun down there. How many of you know it's not a sin to have fun? Can you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a few of you saying, yeah. I'm not trying to trap you in anything. Come on, man. It's okay to have fun. Can you say amen to that? Hey, you can have fun while you're cleaning the house. Can you say amen to that? Everybody goes, no, yeah, you can. You can have fun. I mean, it's okay. But these folks were doing something different kind of fun. Is that right? They were sinning and they were worshiping a golden calf. Running around it, singing praises to the golden calf. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you'd go from God to a cow. I guess there's some folks that do. Is that right? I guess. I don't know. But anyway, we'll forget about that for a minute. Moses come down off the mountain, and he's carrying these tablets that God had written with his own finger. The Bible says that it was written, the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. Can you say amen? So he looks, Moses gets a little upset. How many say amen? And he throws these things and I don't know if everybody saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. I don't know if you remember that, but the golden calf blew up and everything. Anyway. So the next chapter, you see Moses back up on the mountain with God. And God's telling him, hey, okay, now you're going to write them. I wrote them at first, so you're writing them now. Here, so Moses is up there chiseling out on stone the Ten Commandments. And when he leaves 40 days and 40 nights, he goes back down to the camp. And when he gets down there, the people look at him, and man, they go, whoa, whoa. What is with you, bro? And the Bible says they didn't even want to look at him because his face was shining. Folks, can I tell you that when you're in the presence of God, this is what you pick up. You pick up the glory of God. Can you say amen to that? It was the glory of God that was on Moses. And as he came down, they said, no, man. Hey, man, you need to do something about that. Quit looking at me with them eyes. And so Moses, what he did was he put a veil on his face, so that they wouldn't see him while he was talking to them. But whenever he went in to be with the Lord, boom, the veil came off. And he got a recharge. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what, folks, this is your original solar lighting. The original type. Man, standing in the presence of God and letting this glory just come upon you. And see, this is what the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, what they were seeing. They were seeing the glory of God. This is why Thessalonians, if you read Thessalonians, oh boy, I didn't give it to you, but it's chapter 5, verse something. How's that? Is that good? Just read chapter 5. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, maybe around 15th, 16th verse. It says something, therefore we know no man after the flesh, even though we knew Jesus after the flesh. See, the apostles knew Jesus after the flesh, but when they saw him transfigured, they saw him who he really was. They saw the glory of God in him. They saw the Son of God, who he was. That's why God said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. This is why Thessalonians says, we know no man after the flesh. See, because I can't know Pastor John. I'm going to use you I can't know him after the flesh, because there's a glory that's in him that's greater than anything that his flesh can even produce. Can you say amen to that? That's why you can't look at somebody and say, hey, man, you know what? I don't like that guy. I don't like that lady right there. You know what? You can't do that. Why? Because they're a child of God. And God is doing something in their life that you don't know about. He didn't ask you if he could do it to them. He's doing something for them. So you've got really nothing to say. You can't, you know nobody after the flesh. It's only after the Spirit. And so that's all you can do. That's the glory of God walking right there. There's the glory of God right there. There's that man walking out there. Yeah, he might look bad, but he's the glory of God walking in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Because it's not, it's who's dwelling in him. Can you say amen? Are you getting this? I hope you are. What the apostles, when they saw this, they wanted to build. It's just like us. Hey, we want to make a place where we can remember what just happened. Let's build 3 temples here so we can come up here and worship that. And Jesus didn't even respond to that. He just said, hey, man, no. The Bible says that a cloud overshadowed them. Folks, I still believe they were in the presence of God, and the glory of the Lord was in that cloud. And that's where they heard God speak. And that's what was going on this mountain where they went up with Jesus while he was praying. How many of you know that the same glory, how many of you know that God has, when he sent Jesus to the earth, he didn't come just to show, hey, I'm God. Can you say amen? He didn't come for that. He came to show us what a man of God or a redeemed man looked like walking on this planet. That's what he came for. So anything that he did, anything that he was able to do, is exactly what you're able to do if you just trust God, if you go with God, if you walk with the Lord, just like our Lord Jesus did. He's not going to hold anything back. So you can be transfigured before. I used to have a friend. His name was Ed Norgard. Good friend of mine. I mean, I loved him. He's a good and man, loved the Holy Spirit. And I'd see him at First Assembly or once in a while, and he'd look at me and he says, brother, you're shining today. I go, okay, good, man. Maybe go powder my nose, man. I look a little oily, whatever. But he would tell me, you're shining today. I really had no concept of what he was saying until I was looking at these things, and I see that God is looking for us to shine. Can you say amen to that? I want to show you something. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 12. The whole chapter is really, really good. And I struggled with where I was going to start with this, but I'm just going to start at verse 12. And it says, seeing then that we have such a hope. How many know that Jesus is our hope? The kingdom of God on the earth is a hope that we have. We use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. What he's talking about is the law. The children of Israel could not look at Moses, and what he's talking about being abolished is the law. Can you say amen? It would be abolished after a while. When Jesus came, that law became old story. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor, say old story. See, God hasn't called us to live in that law. He's given us a law already. Can you say amen? You can either live, and this is the way Romans 8 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Tell a Jew that, and if they believe in Jesus, they're going to understand what the law of sin and death, it was the Mosaic law. A lot of people are caught up studying the things of the Mosaic law and the actions and how they do things, and they are neglecting what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their own lives because they're busy about the old law. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has absolutely made you free from the law of sin and death. Can you say amen to that? You have been released and freed from the law of sin and death. Isn't that cool? That's where we stand in this earth. We stand as free. That's right. We stand as free. Glory to God. So starting at verse 12, which I already read, it says, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. The is because this is the writer. This because the writer, who's Paul the Apostle, he's saying this was abolished. He's saying it. Jewish people around the Pharisees, I could see why they would not like Paul, because he's saying this stuff was abolished because of Jesus. He said their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in what? Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Amen? What changes your heart? Jesus. When your heart turns to the Lord, all of a sudden something happens. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Something happens within you, and what is taken away is the veil. All of a sudden you see Christ as who he is to you. Can you say amen? He's the one that died for you. He's the one that washed all your sins away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. He's the Son. He's the one that saved you. Amen. And you see that. See, I was raised Catholic. You guys all know that. I've said that before. I did not know this. I did not know the Son. I heard about him. I saw him in statues. They talked about him, but I didn't know him. But then a veil was pulled off of my eyes, and now I knew him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I know him. The veil. Can I just say this to you? Sometimes you're talking to people out there. They're nice. They're good folks, but they think you're crazy. Is that all right? They're good people. These are good people, man. But they think you're crazy. And sometimes they say something, or you might meet somebody that you don't even know, and they say something to you. Yeah, you know, I was in front of Safeway one time, and all I did was hand a lady a pamphlet about Christ. She went in the store, I turned to talk to this friend that I was with, turned around, she's standing right in front of me, she spit on my shoe, and she threw that thing at me. I go, wow, okay. It's easy to kind of get a little upset. But see, there's something we got to remember with almost all of these folks, guys. There's a veil on their eyes. They don't know. They don't know. So it's important that we have compassion on them. The compassion, the love of God that He's placed on our heart would be compassionate to those that don't know and don't understand. Can you say amen to that? Even your children. Maybe you thought, I raised them all their life to serve Jesus. Yeah. All their life. I took them to church, and now look, they're out running around. They're doing whatever they want to do. You know what? Compassion. Compassion. Love them. Allow them to see the love of God in you. Because this love is glorious. Can you say amen to that? How many say amen?
Yep.
Yeah. But you got to spend time with Him. You got to spend a little bit of your time with Him. Can you say amen to that? See, that's the thing we don't get. We think we're doing God a favor because, okay, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. Okay, how's that? Okay, God, I'm worshiping you. Folks, hey, this should be something you love to do. Your heart just loves to worship Him. Your heart just pulls in and says, God, I just want to thank you. 7 times a day, 8 times a day, all day long, God, I just want to thank you and praise you. It's Jesus upon your heart pulling that veil away from you. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. So this is, I mean, hey, so you heard it this morning. Next time that person makes fun of you or whatever, calls you silly names or whatever, who cares? Amen?
Amen.
They just don't get it. I want to tell you something. That thing with my granddaughter and the school, we had people telling us that there were people in that school that didn't want that to happen. They were fighting her. My granddaughter would go ask them, and they would say, well, you got to talk to, I'm not going to say any names, but whatever. But these people didn't want that to happen. Yeah. Well, guess what? Sounds to me like God wanted it to happen. Yeah. Hey, don't talk to me. Go talk to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, you don't like it? Go talk to Him. He'll tell you. Hallelujah. Maybe He'll pull a veil off of your face. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll hear something. Go, hey, invite Him in. Let Him hear. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 60 verses 1, 2, and 3. So this, folks, this is what I... Can I tell you how many believe in Jesus? Anybody here believe in Jesus?
Amen.
Anybody believe in Jesus?
Woo!
Yeah.
Amen.
Some of you wouldn't pick up your hand. Jesus said, I saw that hand, I saw that hand, I saw that hand. Yeah. How many believe in Jesus now? Oh, look at everybody believes in the glory that God has on Him is resident in you. Can you say amen to that? Hey, put that on your tweak, on your whatever you send out. The glory of God.
Yeah.
Tweak? Is that a call? Tweak? I don't know what you're... Twitter? See, that's how much I do of that stuff. I don't do anything. My son signed me up for, what's it called, babe? Instagram. I got signed up for Instagram. I just look like, I don't know what this is all about. I got people following me. I don't even know who they are. Oh, you're great. Hey, the glory of God is already resident in you. Can you say amen? But God is saying something in this world today. This glory is so needed in the earth. Here's Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people. How many of you know this is happening right now?
Yep.
Gross darkness. Darkness is all over. You can get pornography in a phone. You got it in your pocket pornography. Gross darkness, bro. Gross darkness. Don't tell me about that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Pornography is acid to a Christian spirit, to their soul. Can you know that? Do you know that? Do you know it? I want to hear an amen. I'm not. I don't want to.
Amen.
I can't hear this. I want to hear. Yeah, come on, man. It's acid. It is a destructive force in your life, and you're the only one that makes that choice. Can you say amen to that? Don't do it. Don't do it. Because the light of the gospel is dwelling within you. And if there's anything that's going to put out that light, it's doing things that are contrary to that light. Can you say amen? Put that on your tweet. The Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Can you say amen? Amen. Because they're going to see the glory of God in you. They're going to come, and they're going to go, what's going on, man? It's Jesus, bro. Amen. It's none but Jesus. And the kings to the brightness of your rising. Huh. See, God has a plan. And that plan is the glory of God in your life to be seen. Amen. You say amen? It's pretty hard to be seen like in my when I was over at Big O. You guys remember Big O? Yep. And I'm yelling at the guy. I walk outside the door and God says, nice, very nice. Oh, God, I'm sorry. We are to be demonstrating like what Jesus demonstrated. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to check this out. Watch this. Mark chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Look at this. I'm going to pick on those disciples. How many say amen? How many like picking on the disciples? No? Yeah. No. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus, I mean, he says he, but Jesus charged them that they should tell no man what they had seen. Don't say anything. Huh? I'm sure they wanted to go say, hey, we saw Elijah and Moses. And, you know, go tell everybody. He says, don't say nothing. This is what Jesus said. Don't say nothing. Till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another what the rising of the dead should mean. I love it. They're going, what does it mean? It's going to rise from the dead. Folks, can I tell you, there's revelation in just speaking that Jesus rose from the dead. But you know, here's the disciples, poor guys. They've been with Jesus. He already told them that I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. And they're going, what is rise from the dead? We don't know. We got no idea. See, they had a veil, folks. There was a veil on their eyes. They didn't get it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, check this out. Mark chapter 16. Verse 9 through 14. I'm going to pick on these guys still more. How many say amen? All right, he says, Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Amen? Hey, ladies first, right? Ladies first. Come on. Come on, amen? Amen. Ladies first. Amen. Hallelujah. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, told the 11, as they mourned and wept. They were weeping and crying, Jesus, Jesus, we lost Jesus, he died. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they didn't believe it. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Come on, man. Hallelujah. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the residue. Neither believed they him. Two witnesses. How many say amen to that? What's the law of the scriptures? By two or three witnesses, everything will be what? establishes. Here God's giving them two witnesses, and they're going, shut up. We saw him die. We saw him die. He's dead. And they're crying, and they're, oh my God, they're mourning. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. That cool? You see, there was a veil, folks. It was a veil. That's all it was. It was just a veil. That's what those folks out there that don't know about Jesus, they just got a veil on their heart. And all they need is someone just to love on a little bit, give them a few words and walk away. Give them a few more words later on and walk away. Give them a few more and watch what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll begin to pick that veil up. Can you say amen to that? John verse 20, verse 9 says this, that these guys, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. In Psalms, I think it's, I don't know, I'm not sure where it's at. Don't try to find it. It's okay. In Psalms, David prophesies something, and he says, the Lord will not leave my soul in hell, and neither will he let my body see corruption. I was talking about the resurrection. Pretty cool. Yeah. Very cool. Hallelujah. My intent on this for this sermon was to talk about the power of the resurrection, but God took me in this other direction because he wants you to know that you are powerful in him. Thank you. You have the glory of God within you, and he wants to release it. Sometimes we just hinder it so much that he says, man, I'm having trouble with this. But God is saying today, he says, man, just let me have my way in your life. Do you remember that you are crucified with Christ? You're crucified with him in order so that you might do his will in your life. Can you say amen to that? You died so you can't have a will. Can you say amen? Bah? What do you want to do? I don't know. Ask Jesus. Come on, man. Basically what it is. God will lead you and guide you. He'll place you in places that, man, you'll say, hey, this is God. This I know that the Lord brought me here. I know the Lord is doing something in my life. You'll know because you have released your life to him, and now it's him working in your life. Not you trying to make it work. There's a whole different thing. Is that right? You're either going to let him work or you're going to try to make it work. Put that in your tweet. I don't know what that is. Is that the wrong word?
No, yes.
Tweet. Is that the right word?
Tweet.
You're either going to let him work or you're going to try to make it work. And it doesn't work that way. It will never work. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How many say amen? How many believe in Jesus? And then he says, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe it? Some do, some don't, and it's okay. What God has revealed to me, he might not have revealed it to you yet. He might not have spoken these. And what he's revealed to you, he might not have revealed that to me yet either. But I do know that everything that I hear, I am instructed to take it before the Holy Spirit and say, God, is this right? Everything that I hear. Folks, that's why sometimes I'll get something, somebody will send me a brother or a sister, and they're saying things, and from within, I know those things are past, but God has brought us into something new, and I'll know it. And so what happens is I take the time to go and start looking at it and everything. So you know what? I told the Lord, I said, you know what? I'm just not going to listen to this stuff. I'm going to listen to what you have for me. I just want to hear you, Father. I don't want to hear anybody else. It doesn't matter if they listen to what I'm saying, as long as I'm saying what God has given me to say. Is that all right? It's not my job to change you, to convince you. It's not my job. All I have to do is say what he's revealed to me and let you take it. You see, I'm a pastor of a church. How many say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, not everybody said amen, so that's okay. That's all right. But I am the pastor of this church. And see, there's one thing about pastors and teachers and everything. What they have to do is they have to move forward and look forward. Can you say amen? It's like a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't just take his flock into this little place that's green with grass and just say, okay, guys, have at it. And then sit back and wait. Oh, they're almost done with all this. See, a good shepherd will feed them. And then while they're feeding, he'll lift up his eyes and he'll look for the next place to feed. How many say amen to that? See, in 1 Peter, it says that we're not to, that as a shepherd or as bishops, we are not to be self-centered and trying to rule the people on our own. But we are to be men of a ready mind, is what the Word of God says, a ready mind. And that word ready, it is prothuma in the Greek. And if you look up prothuma in the Greek, it means one who arrives first. We get the word prototype or proto out of it. How many say amen? How many know what a prototype is? Yep. Like a prototype of a car is generally the first car that was made out. Is that right? Prototype of a gun. He says, those of you that love guns, amen. How many of you are carrying right now? No, I'm just kidding. But prototype. A prototype is the first. And a ready mind is somebody, a pastor, that has to look and say, this is where we're going to feed this week. This is where we'll feed this week. This is where we'll feed. It's not up to the shepherd to make you eat. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I can't make you drink. I can't make you. You can take a fool to school, but you can't make him drink. Anyway, never mind. Yeah, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can take a fool to school, but you can't make him think. Every one of us has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need to hear what he's saying to you personally. When you're hearing what he's saying to you personally, you begin to walk in the city, let's just say in the city, with the knowledge that God has you and God is going to use you, and he's going to use what he's given you to help somebody else. Can you say amen to that? If we're introverted, if we just think about who we are, and I just want to pray for me, and I don't know. That does nobody any good. That doesn't do the kingdom any good. Can we say amen to that? God wants us to help folks. So you hear what he's saying to you, and you take that, and you walk in it, what he's saying to you. Look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about, I know a lot of you listen to evangelists, but I tell you, what if you spent that time that you're listening to the evangelists? What if you spent that time just listening for the Lord, going to him, saying, God, what do you have for me? I will tell you that we would be a lot further along in touching this city if every one of us did that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, it's cool, man. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 13, 3 verse 18 in the King James one more time. Just read this. I'm almost done. Can you say amen? Thank you. It's already 12:15. All right, it says, but we with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at this. This is the King James talking, and it doesn't really bring out what I sense in my spirit God is saying. So I brought in the TPT. How many of you like the TPT? There's three of you. I like the TPT. Sometimes it's very useful to me. How many of you know, it doesn't matter what translation you use. Can you say amen? Jesus is the translator. The Holy Ghost is the translator. All right? So look at, this is the TPT, how it says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our face. How many say amen? I don't want anything that he's trying to show me to be veiled from me. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. Can you say amen to that? I want to reflect the Lord. All right? We are, see that word being? We are being transformed. It's transfigured. Can you say, what are we talking about? The transfiguration, is that right? The glory, we are being transfigured into his very image. As we move from one brighter level of glory to another, and this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Can you say amen? See, God's trying to transfigure us into the glory of who his Son is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can you see going down to the ballpark and nobody has anything to eat? And you're like, who's got any? Well, I got a couple of dogs here and a couple of buns. Well, bring them to me. And you feed everybody hot dogs that day. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen? Because that's the things that God is looking to do, that his glory might cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He is interested in what we're doing. We can't just sit back and say, well, I will just wait for him to show up. No. Hallelujah. Get into your closet. Find out what he's saying to you and allow his Spirit to drive you and take you. Can you say amen? I will tell you, it's the best life you'll ever have because he knows you and what you need. Can you say amen to that? Would you stand? Amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I get excited about Jesus. I don't know about you guys. I get excited about who he is and what he's doing. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray, all you excited folks. Woo! Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father, for giving us a personal relationship with you. Father, let us not neglect anything. Let us especially not neglect knowing you, hearing what you are saying to us, Father. For this is a glorious, glorious kingdom. And we ask you, Father, that you would cause us to walk in the steps that you have ordained for us from the beginning, from even beginning of before the beginning of the foundation, the ordainment of those steps, Lord, help us to walk in them. Help us to hear you and help us to see you, Father. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. Touch those that are around us with your glory, Father. Let your glory arise. Arise. Hallelujah. Let the Lord, hallelujah. Let God arise and let every enemy be scattered. Let the glory of the Lord arise, hallelujah, in your people, Father. Today, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Shake somebody.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.